28,000 minutes, is that what you said? 28,000 minutes, wow, that's good. What's that like in hours? Nobody's laughing with me because they're kind of like looking at me if I'm serious or not. Would you open up your Bibles with me? It's the book in the pew. Open up to page 719. It's Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, a short section that won't take 28,000 minutes to unpack, although we could spend that much time on it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16, if you want to follow along on your phone. I like the Message version because it takes me a hard time to read English and it helps out paraphrasing. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. Hear the word of the Lord, church family. You are the salt of the earth. Let me say it again. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men. Why? That they may see your good deeds and not praise you, but praise your Father in heaven. This is a reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. With all these babies, is Aurora back in the house? Aurora. Well, if you go up to Aurora, or if you go up to Ara, or if you go up to the 15 other babies that were, and if you're Armenian, you usually hear a phrase like this. Yes, Kez, right? If you're Armenian or in English, if you're Armenian and in English translated is, if you go up to, oh, there she is. Come on up. This is perfect illustration to my opening sermon, and we'll just move on from there. If you look at Aurora, you're going to see she's got mommy's eyes or daddy's features, and it's just absolutely beautiful that God creates us this way. And get this, you're made in the image of God, and that's truly a wonderful blessing. So let me pray. Father God, thank you so much for the gift of life. Thank you for Aurora. Lord, I pray that you just, your hand is upon her. May she not only look like her mommy and daddy, but may she look like you, Lord. May she grow and may she profess and confess that she wants to live for you, that she wants to be a salt and a light for you, Jesus. And that is her number one priority. So, Father, I pray that you give Skylar and Samantha just extra grace, extra mercy, extra wisdom, patience, and may they be that light of hope to her and to Adani as well. We praise you, Lord, and we love you. Amen. Thank you. You see how we smoothly transition that in there. But if you look at it, everybody, we, each of us has a unique characteristic. And there's never going to be another Aurora. There's never going to be another Mgrdich Hovhannes Mgrdichyan. Yes, that's my name in Armenian. Literally translated is Baptist John Baptist. You see why I went with Mike, right? But you thank God that there's not another Mugo, right? There's not another Mike. We are unique. I've got distinct physical features. You've got distinct physical features. We've got certain traditions, certain things we love to do together in our homes, what we value and prioritize. Each family unit represented here is unique in their own way, in their own story. If you go talk to some of those who have worked hard to get here from Lebanon and Syria and Armenia, they have a story, and nothing breaks that barrier of a family unit. Each of you are unique. Praise God. Beyond your unique physical characteristics, you're unique in traditions and in values. You enjoy, some of you, opening presents at midnight in Christmas Eve. Some of you plan, prioritize a weekend away to go camping. Some of you plan and prioritize everything possible to get a good education. I would say in a poll amongst Armenians, that's probably number one thing that we value. Some of us value the arts, the sports, and we do everything possible to prioritize that. For example, in my home, we gotta make sure that every single child is an athlete. We tried soccer last year. It did not go so well. This year, swimming, Emmy did pretty well in it and is excelling, so hopefully she will be a butterfly swimmer. But as we find something valuable, we make sure that we push it to a priority in our lives. And by default, everything gets put aside. Each family unit is unique, and you strive. You strive to excel in what you do best and in your own unique way. So what is so unique about the person who belongs to the family of Christ? What's so interesting? You go out of these doors and you say you belong to First Armenian Presbyterian Church, but if they don't know that you do that, and they just know you, what's so unique about you besides your last name, besides that you can swim, shoot baskets and score goals by soccer, or do Armenian dancing, or paint a great picture? What else is so unique about you and as a family of Christ? Generally, when you're asked on paperwork, you know, what faith, generally as Armenians, you normally say Christian, just like an Armenian. Christ, I-A-N, me belonging to the family of Baptists is the same as you belonging to the family of Christ. As much as your family is unique and important, let's be honest, your eternal uniqueness and belonging to the family of Christ should be a higher priority. That's a hard one to hear. Let's be real. Me belonging to the family of Christ is far better than just belonging to the family of Baptists. Some old school thinking amongst Armenians is they've come up to me and actually said this: see, now you have a son. Why? Anunut bide sharnakuvi. Your name is going to continue on. Really? Let me set the record straight. I don't care. Because I care that the name of Christ passes on to the next generation versus my last name. We're not here to keep the pew warm. And hopefully not for another 10 minutes. But we're not here to keep the pew warm. We're not here to preserve the stained glass. We're not here to keep this building going. We're not here to make sure the next building next to us is used for them. We're not here for those very reasons. We're here this morning because we believe in the God who raised from the dead. We believe he gives us hope in the midst of our despair. We believe that God walks in front of us in our fears. We believe he wipes our tears. We believe he's paved the road for our journey of life. We're here because we want to know and experience God more. Here's the reality. You see, if you've professed that, just what I just said, if you've professed that you believe that he is an amazing God, then you belong to the family of Christ. Not to the family of FAPC, you belong to the family of Christ. And then God says, you're unique in two ways. I mean, you're unique beyond that, but you're unique in two ways. We're going to talk about those two ways this morning. You are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. If you grew up in my family, we ate food that was quite bland. My dad is a diabetic, cholesterol, high blood pressure, you name it, pacemaker, all these things. Poor guy. But we can't eat food that is full of spices and salt and all that. And, you know, some of us have the same issues. And my mom did everything possible while we were growing up, and even till now when she was making us food while she was here with us. We ate food that, quite honestly, had no... It was just bland. And so when I go to people's homes or Tamar makes a meal and I eat something, I'm like, whoa, good Lord, that was a lot of salt. And Tamar's like, I just put a little pinch, right? Just a little pinch. But if you're not used to the salt in your diet, it just comes off really powerful, or the pepper and stuff like that. And sometimes, not till this day, I can't handle it. You see, with regards to our salt, there are various arguments on what Jesus is alluding to as salt as an illustration. If you know anything about those times, the biggest reason salt was needed was to preserve the meat or the fish from rotting away, so they would encase it in salt. A secondary option, and maybe a more obvious reason, is to season food, right? To give it a little bit of a flavor, and just like we do it now, marinate. And the third would have been, because of the salt's chemical abilities and around that region, it could have often been used as a fertilizer, and that's why we see this allusion that if salt loses its saltiness, it can be thrown out. Maybe there's a connection there. But regardless of the reason on why Jesus is using that, the imagery is pretty insightful. Think about it. You get to be the flavor and the light to someone who doesn't know Jesus. Think about it. You get to be, if you've ever tasted a really yummy steak and you're just like, man, that was full of marinade. Imagine, if you may, you are like this piece of juicy steak on a Monday morning to your coworker. Okay, maybe they're a vegetarian, okay? Or a pescatarian or whatever, vegan, or whatever you want to say. Just use it as substitute. You are the full of flavor of Jesus to them. You see, if we follow Jesus, if you said, I've signed up to be Jesus, I check my mark next to Christian, we're not here just to warm up the pew. When we go back out into the world, and if Jesus has got a hold of you, you are the flavor of Jesus to people. You are a beacon of hope to the person who's struggling with depression. You are the person of hope when they're hating life. You are the person of hope when they're dying inside to the addictions that they have. You are the flavor of Jesus to them. Thinking of salt as a preservative, as we belong to the family of Christ, what steps are we taking to preserve our faith from immorality around us? I'm not advocating like you go pack up your lives and be in a bubble, right? Because there's going to be sin around us all the time. But the question is, do we cut corners in the business world just to be successful? Do we go to certain parties, events, just so we can be part of the cool crowd? Do we go to certain things and be ourselves known? As Armenians, we are the kings and queens. I'll own to it. We are, as Armenians, we are the kings of queens. We need to preserve our heritage, our identity. And as a result of our difficult past, we want to do everything to preserve our culture. How many times does it take when we are pursuing to preserve our culture, Jesus gets put aside? I'll give you an example. There's serious anger in my life. I was sending my daughter to an Armenian school. 4 years old. I'm not saying I'm a proud parent, but at 2.5, she was speaking fluent Armenian. She goes to an Armenian school. Love the fact that she's going to Armenian school. In the interactions of the Armenian school, in the interactions of Sunday school, the babysitter who doesn't speak Armenian, I'm like, Achikchan, right? I'm doing all this work. I'm pouring all this money. What's wrong with you? Why aren't you speaking? And here it is, mirror right into my face. What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you that you're driving and getting angry that she doesn't speak Armenian? Yes, she knows how to speak Armenian, but she's not doing it to you. And you're taking that as a priority over what? For her to see Jesus in you? Humble pie. Right? My priority is to be a family unit who wants to preserve the name of Christ, even if Armenian takes a hit. I know. I'll get an email later. Almost every church I've been in, there's always someone's pilaf that's special, right? There's always someone's chikifte or rema that one should try. Almost every church I've been in, someone's like, oh, you need to try so-and-so's pilaf. It is unbelievable, right? When you go to talk to them, so what did you do different about the peel? Oh, che. It's a secret. It's a secret. We don't say what is in the pilaf, right? They could be using like tens of pounds of butter. Here's the reality. Here's what's really amazing, right? You've come this morning. You may have tasted some amazing pilaf. I don't know. You got moved by the leaders that are up here to teach your children. You were moved by the jiger love that Armand Lilit shared. You want to talk about that's 10 minutes? Go spend 15 days with them. You're just going to be so loved by those two people. You kind of think, I'm going to pour out and encourage them. Psh, forget that. Your goal is to get loved by them. And that's just absolutely amazing, right? So maybe you experienced something great like that. Maybe you experienced the song we sang. Maybe God moved you in that. Maybe you experienced something when the prayers of the people was going out. The flavor. Maybe you're experiencing something through this sermon. Here's the reality. Why are we so bland when we get out on Monday morning? Gosh darn it, I'm the same way, right? Why are we so full of the flavor of what God is giving to us on a Sunday morning? Hey, maybe you even experienced some amazing thing in the during the breakfast time. You saw these kids singing. You got to hang out. We did the amazing work that the construction team did just to get us to where we are. The amazing work that Cheryl and Chris did to get this deck. Maybe you experienced it. And then when we leave this place Monday afternoon, it's like, psh, we're bland. What's preventing you, name it. What's preventing you from being a flavor of the Holy Spirit to a friend at school, the colleague, the boss? I'm tired. I'm scared to say what, I don't know what to say. I don't care. You know what's funny is that Armand was saying in Armenian, and I'm going to try to get this as much as I can. He said, you know, after we accepted Jesus and we're going and walking down these streets and we see all these kids, and if God is loving us the way he loves us, what am I going to do? Say a prayer of blessing on those people? Or, you know, just, hey, we love you and go home? No, because loving God, if God loves us vertically, uncontrollably, doesn't have limitations, then who am I to say, Chiga, you know what, go home. And I'm not advocating that you take on the model that they have of inviting everybody home. Hey, if that's what's moving in your heart, but praise God, I'll come alongside you and cheer you on in that. But the funny thing is we do such a great job of when we get out these doors and we get to Monday morning, it's go time. I got to make the money. I got to be successful. I got to make sure my kid's name is up there in the education status, has 14 letters across on the beginning and the end. And that drives us our priority versus our priority to be a flavor and hope to those who don't know him. We do a pretty good job of keeping secrets. In the message version of this passage, it says God is not to be kept a secret. He's not a secret anymore. But we do a good job of hiding him. We do a good job of hiding him. Jesus says in John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. If we say we belong to this family, then we have this light in us. Look at how unique you are. Look at the person to the right and left. They're unique, not just physically, but they are unique. So our Sunday school theme is this, is shine. And we want the next generation. We want Aurora. We want Ada. We want all the other babies. We want the babies that haven't come yet. We want your grandkids who are sitting next to you. We want your kids. We want to raise up the next generation to not keep Jesus a secret anymore. And one of the key things that Cheryl Shamlian did was when she decorated this hallway with this nautical theme, is a key decoration was a component was a lighthouse. So if you haven't seen it, and you want, as you're leaving today, you can go down the hallway and you see this lighthouse that's right in the beginning of it. A lighthouse is a tower with a bright light at the top, located at an important or dangerous place regarding navigation. Basically, if you're traveling over water. The two main purposes of a lighthouse are to serve as a navigational aid and to warn boats of dangerous areas. This is where you as parents come in. You already do. You teach your child what's right and wrong. You're navigating through them through life. Essentially, you're trying to be a lighthouse to them so that what? They don't go into dangerous areas. Moms and dads, this is my challenge for you. We want to walk alongside you to shine brightly for Jesus at home so our next generation doesn't travel into dangerous territory, i.e. sinful lifestyle. Moms and dad, we want to teach your next generation to become lighthouses. A big part of that is if they see you flavoring your life. You see, if your child sees you flavoring your life up with the